This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is March 22nd, 2021. This is show number 229. Kind of dull out there today, huh, Nick?
It's a little bit on the quieter side, but again, we have a lot of disconnects going on out here. So we have a mixed Monday, but it looks like there's some early strength in technology. NASDAQ Composite is definitely catching a bid as yields pull back, but we are looking at the Russell 2000, though, under some pressure today, down by about 1% to start the day. So this comes really as the regional banks, and who would think that the Russell now is filled up with a lot of small banks, and that's really been one of the reasons why it's been surging so much, because yields have been going up, bank stocks have been performing better. But this morning, we're looking at the regional banks really coming in. So when I look at the KRE, which is the regional bank ETF, it's down about 3%, over 3% right now. So that's a big spanking right there. So that's definitely hurting the Russell. And then there's some weakness in energy today. The energy stocks are a lot lower. We're looking at some of the energy stocks pulling back today. Some of them are pulling back in a big way too. So it's interesting to see, but a lot of these oil services names like Halliburton and Schlumberger and a few others are really under pressure here. So Baker Hughes is another one, down over 2%. So we're seeing a lot of the energy names pulling back today. So very mixed tape. And remember, energy accounts for roughly 11% of the S&P 500.
All right, so a mixed tape, and I guess we're shifting from the Monday rally to the Friday rescue, huh?
Yeah, it could be. We did, you know, every Friday we talk about it, but it gets saved. There's nobody out there really looking to be a seller on Friday, miraculously.
Yeah, isn't that funny how that works, huh?
It is. It is quite something.
All right, so looking at precious metals, they were down substantially in after hours trading. Now they're recovering some of those losses.
Yeah, they're coming off the lows. Again, we see, you know, almost every day we see a gap down in the precious metals, and then they come rallying back. It's almost like you could repeat the, it's like Groundhog Day here. So today, you have the GLD, which is the gold ETF. That's lower by 56 cents. But again, that was a lot lower to start the morning. Then you have gold futures right now, down about $6.50. So it's really not a terrible day. And when you look at gold miners, just down 14 cents, but they started out the day weak as well, and then they've been rallying since. So again, you know, gold's like the Weeble Wobbles. You knock them down, but they don't really fall down. They get right back up. So, you know, again, we'll be watching gold. I like gold here. I like gold miners here. I own both, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. So you're still sticking to that trade, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, the gold miners trade, you know, we've already locked in first half, and we're up over 8% on the second half. And, you know, I think there's still a lot more upside to go here.
All right. Well, that's a good thing. And no surprises there. What's doing with our cryptos, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, today we have cryptos a little on the weaker side. So it looks like Bitcoin, it's not getting clobbered or anything, but it is down about 1% as we speak. So again, when I look at my Bitcoin print over here, I take that back. We're down about 3%. So that's right, trading right around 57,000 right now. So that's the only crypto that I even track, and I don't even trade it. So we are seeing cryptos getting hit a little bit today.
Yeah, so kind of inevitable. We always talk about parabolic moves and what happens after the move up is done. And maybe we're here now, maybe not. You know, we got a lot of people out there, Nick, saying $100,000, $1 million Bitcoin. The enthusiasm is running amok, isn't it?
It really is. In fact, I was at a ball game over the weekend, my kid's ball game, and one of the parents came up to me and said, "Do you think Ethereum will go to 10,000? And I just looked at him and chuckled. So I said, you know, anything's possible. You know, that's what makes a market. Being nice. But, you know, when a stranger that has no, you know, has never invested in crypto or anything is thinking that, you know what I'm thinking, Kerry. Too many people are getting on one side of the boat. I want to be on the other side.
Yeah, that's for sure. But it has had a remarkable run up for sure from its low of just under 4,000. Now it's up up hit broke 60,000, so it's up 15-fold in the course of a year and a half, two years.
But that's an incredible run. It's outperformed almost everything except GameStop. So, I mean, it was an incredible, incredible run. And those things will happen sometimes. It's now an asset class. I still don't trade it, but it's now an asset class because I just simply can't grasp my head around it and saying, what does this thing really do? You need dollars to buy it. Eventually, you know, I mean, I definitely know it's conditioning people to get into digital currencies. I think that's its main purpose. But we'll see what happens if these governments around the world will let it operate as a, you know, as a real currency.
Or whether they can stop it at this point. I guess they can stop it from being convertible for credit card use. They could shut down PayPal. They could stop. They could just outlaw it. A whole bunch of things they could do. We don't see them doing it yet. They might not ever do it. And they might just accept it and then come out with FedCoin. But does FedCoin want any competition? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, that's what I'm curious about too, because we know historically speaking, they've never wanted competition. So are they going to allow other cryptocurrencies to be the competitor now? I just really have a hard time accepting that. Now, you're also cutting out the middleman. That's my biggest concern, is that when you cut out the middleman with blockchain and you could just basically, I could give you money or do anything I want, who's to get that cut in the middle? Who's the middleman there? Who's the banker there? And more importantly, you know, what about taxes? That's got to be the next big thing, right? I mean, we hear now with the Biden administration is how taxes are ready, you know, they're going to go up this summer. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out. And crypto, you know, a lot of people have some big tax implications there when they cash out.
Oh, yeah, because I think it's considered, I don't know if capital gains treatment applies to it or not, if it's like gold, where gold, any of your profits are taxed at ordinary income. So help us out there. I don't remember about capital gains tax treatment. Not that most people hold on to it, although a lot of people do hold on to it indefinitely, as they call them, hodl, you know, hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it remains to be seen, but it certainly is fun to watch. That's it for today. Go over to inthemoneystocks.com. The trade's still out there getting ready, but it could be any day. So you need to go there now, inthemoneystock.com. The Twitter feeds are at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Email us with your questions. We'll pass them on to Nick, KL@KerryLutz.com. Nick, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Kerry. Thank you.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.